Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Rob, I'm going to ask you quickly about this. And I said Anthony Edwards is probably, I think, going to be the first pick. We'll see if that comes to fruition. He did an extensive interview with ESPN. He said a lot, but I'm going to throw one quote out at you and see what you think. Would you have second thoughts about drafting a guy that said this, number one? Here's a quote on his passion for basketball. "To be honest, I can't watch basketball. I'm still not really into it. I love basketball. Yeah, it's what I do." And then he said if he was drafted in the NFL tomorrow, he'd let basketball go. I got to read this quote to you, too, because this will tell you something about him. Here's why he said he would let basketball go. "Not because I love hitting folks. Not because there's nothing more exhilarating than a kickoff return or whatever. This is why." Quote, "Because you can do anything on the field. You can spike the ball. You can dance. You can do all types of disrespectful stuff. You can't do any of that in the NBA. You'll get fined." Okay.
No way, no how. I know it's easy to say you wouldn't pick them at the first pick or whatever, but I would definitely have reservations because, Chris, I've talked to many football players, and I'm thinking you've probably talked to some athletes as well, who don't like football.
We talk about like that a lot, right? There's guys that love the game and guys that just like it or maybe don't even like it.
I've had guys tell me, "I do this because I can make money. I'm a good living out of it. I don't like it." Okay? I don't. And I get that. If you're 6'4", Chris, and weigh 350, there aren't too many jobs, seriously,
where you can make millions.
Right.
You
know? Right.
Come on.
So that's why they do it. And I
don't even blame them. Yeah.
But they don't say it publicly. It ain't something that you should say publicly, Chris. That's all. You could feel that way. And I get it. You know, sometimes it's hard to watch. He's not the only one watching the NBA. There's other people.
Well,
who don't like the style of the game or other reasons. But for him to say, "I'm not into the game" or "I give it up tomorrow," it just would make me feel uncomfortable. Most people who make it on this level and get to where he is, Chris, they live, they die, they breathe. It's their existence. So when you hear a guy like laissez-faire about it, it makes you wonder. It makes you, as soon as things don't go well for him, or as soon as he gets paid, where he says, "I'm not going to work at this. I got paid. I just got $70 million guaranteed. I'm good. Right. I'll play, but I'm not trying to get better or kill myself out here."
Well, I think you said a mouthful, and I agree with a lot of it. And I'll say this. I'm going to say these things in defense of him. It's not what you want to hear, and you're absolutely right. You don't need to say it publicly. I'm going to say a few things in his defense, though. One, and I'm sure you've had the same conversations with athletes, there are a lot of great players that did not grow up watching much of basketball or football.
They don't know the history of the game. They don't know anything of it.
Maybe they were out playing it or doing something else, but they weren't watching it like a lot of us who are actually in sports writing did.
Yep.
You know, like for us, we were watching it religiously, reading Sports Illustrated and all that. There are a lot of guys that you'd be surprised who just didn't watch the game like that. So maybe that's what he means, right? Maybe I'm going to say he means that. And I'm going to throw this at you too. He did give up football. He was a legit football player. And I'm told, and I don't know if this is factual, but one executive whose team could choose him told me he supposedly ran a 4.44 in football. Okay, a 4.44-yard dash. So he was a good football player. At 15 or so, he had a growth spurt, and people started telling him, "Man, you could play basketball," and he gave up football. So he did give up football to play basketball, but maybe football is still his favorite sport. Remember Allen Iverson? football may have been his favorite sport. You know, I don't know if he ever said it, but he obviously loved football, and that was certainly his first love. I don't know if it remained that way. And here's the other thing, Rob. He's 19. You know, he's had a kind of a tragic upbringing. Dad not really in the picture. Mom and grandma died when he was like 14 or 15, right in around the same time too. And so he's had a tough situation. Now he's with Clutch Management, which is, you know, LeBron's group, Rich Paul. I think that they're going to be good for him. I'm surprised that they kind of didn't coach him on this to just not say that, you know what I mean? But they've shown, you know, they've helped a lot of guys with, obviously LeBron knows how to do things off the court. So I think they'll help him in this regard, which is a good sign. And, you know, the one saying around the NBA, Rob, is there, did you choose the game? This is kind of to your point. Do you love it or not? Did you choose? There are guys that chose the game, and then there are guys that the game chose them.
Right.
Because you're 6'7", you're athletic, you jump through the
or
gym.
You know, see the little guys who are like, you would be like, why are you playing basketball? Because they had a passion for it. They're not,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not.
Right.
If you're 6'8" walking around or 6'10", Chris, how are you not playing basketball?
Rob, you can go a decade or more without ever encountering a 6'8" person
yes.
in your life, right?
Yes.
I don't know when the last time I came across a 6'8" person
who
wasn't like, you know, one of our former players in the studio or something like that. Honestly, like, I can't remember the last quote unquote regular person that I saw that was 6'8". So that is a gift. And then to be that athletic.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, Rob, you want to baseball, Robinson Cano.
Don't
I know
you
know talk about that? Yeah.
And Chris, big news, you know, Robinson Cano, I just, when he broke in with the Yankees, he was as good as it gets. You know, his name, Robinson, his father named him after Jackie Robinson. Like, this is where baseball is embedded in his family.
Right.
His dad played in the major leagues, Chris.
Right.
He was a big star with the Yankees.
He left with the Yankees.
Oh my God, he could hit, he could field. I mean, a Gold Glove at second base, everything that you would want out of a guy. And I'm going to tell you out of just experience about being around him and talking and interviewing him, great guy. But this is dumb. He had already been busted on steroids. Now he's busted again, Chris. He's going to be banned for the entire year, the 2021 season. He's forfeits.
He'll miss that contract.
$24 million. But here's a little nugget. The Mets are still on the hook for the year after, Chris, for $40 million. He's 38. He'll miss the year 39, and they're still on the hook, right, for $40 million.
40 years old for $40 million. This is where, Rob, I like that he's out for the season and that he doesn't get that money.
These are harsh penalties.
Yes.
For real.
Yes, indeed.
These are harsh.
I think here's what I'd add if I'm the Major League Baseball. If you get caught for PEDs, your contract, if the team so chooses,
there you
can
go.
Be made
there's a
null
language.
And void.
There's a language.
Right.
You just said it.
Can be made null and void.
Because remember when Ryan Braun had the thing with the Brewers.
And he denied it to the hilt, didn't he?
Right. But they kept, you know what I mean? Like, they he's been around. He's still on the team. All I'm
right.
saying is, if the team doesn't want you and can get out of the deal, or there's an escape clause, Chris, but it has to be obviously language. The Mets are on the hook for that $40 million. You know that.
Oh, yeah, at this point, yeah. You can't just change it like midstream.
But as we go forward.
Right.
Should teams be able to make contracts null and void if you test positive and
well,
you get a suspension?
And one thing, I think, Rob, it would be a big deterrent to players. That's what I think. I mean, I think that's my main reason for wanting. Yeah, it protects the team and it's fair because you cheated and all that. That's fine. But to me, the best thing about it would be it would you would think it would be a deterrent.
I'm going to say to you right now, and I hear what you're saying, but Chris, he already got busted. For him to do it again tells you that some people are going to do it. It's just like when we have, and I'm not equating sports to the prison system or death penalties and all kinds of stuff, and people still commit crimes and do heinous things. All I'm saying to you is, I understand. I think it might, but I don't know if that's going to stop people, because the lure of trying to get an advantage and sign a big contract and make that money, people are willing to cheat, right? People are willing to try to get an advantage. We've seen it in track and field. In the NFL, guys get busted and suspended 4 games for PEDs all the time, Chris. All the time.
Rob, everyone knows we don't condone cheating.
Not at all.
But the lure, let's just keep it real for a minute. The lure. Using PEDs could be the difference between you getting $200 million contract and a $40 million contract. I mean, let's keep it real.
No, I'm
you know
I'm
what I'm saying?
Like
the lure is forget all the maybe you become an all-star and you make it to the Hall of Fame. That's enough
forget
of
that.
A lure.
Yeah, right.
But just financially. And that's why I'm saying, like,
and once you get it, Chris, it's guaranteed.
Right,
guaranteed.
Right. So if you took that away, I hear you, because there's no doubt some guys would still cheat.
Right. They would still find a way.
But at least you could take it away. You know what I'm saying?
The money
part. If they got caught. Right. Right. All right. So who was the fourth pick, Rob G? The Bulls just made – did they just make the fourth pick?
They had just made the fourth pick. That is correct. It is from Florida State.
Yes, Patrick Williams.
Exactly.
Right. Patrick Williams. I've heard good things about this kid.
Well, I believe he was a sixth man, though, so that kind of makes you a little bit nervous.
Well, young kid. He's young.
He's the fourth pick, and he was a sixth man on the team. He wasn't even a starter.
He better be a freshman.
Very Marvin Williams-esque. Remember that from North Carolina?
And you know what? I think he was the president of the Orlando Magic for a while, wasn't he? Oh, that's Pat Williams. I'm sorry.
Pat Williams wrote a book every month.
That's right.
You know that. You know that, Rob.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Gottlieb, and we've all talked about the lack of buzz with this draft. And you know, we know Doug Gottlieb. We love him. But he is the champion of college basketball. Players don't
that's
need
his,
to be paid.
That's his strength. That's yes. He played college basketball.
Dad coached.
Yes, all of the whole nine. Yes. He's totally ingrained in college basketball.
Right. And he was saying that the lack of buzz around this draft. Let's look at the first three picks, Rob. Anthony Edwards played for Georgia, which went 16-16. I think 5-11 in their conference. Didn't make the NCAA tournament. Obviously, they didn't have a tournament, but still, didn't make it. The number two pick, James Weissman, played 3 games, right? 3 college games.
Right.
And was a freshman, so, you know, nobody ever saw him playing college much. And the number three pick, LaMelo Ball, played in Australia, so never played a college game. And really didn't even play much high school after Chino Hills when he was a sophomore.
And you could question the competition he played when he was abroad.
Absolutely. And so Gottlieb was saying, this proves the value of college basketball. The fact, usually, if we had seen these kids playing college and they were lighting it up, we would have been hyped about this draft. This is his point. And, you know, Zion and Ja Morant and, you know, we hyped about all these guys. This one, this is what happens when the best players are going to start going to the G League. They're going to go play overseas. They're, you know, going to sit out a year and just work out at an IMG or whatever. And they're not going to play college basketball. This is what we have to look forward to with the NBA draft. Honestly, kind of would become like a baseball draft almost. So what do you think of his notion, Rob?
I'm not buying it. I just think these are extenuating circumstances, Chris. Normally, you know, because there was no March Madness, There were just some wrinkles in it, you know, and there are down years with drafts. Who was the guy we just, Bennett for the Cavaliers?
Anthony Bennett.
Anthony Bennett. What was that? How did he become the first overall pick, right? Was there that much buzz about him and he's going to be the next thing? No. So this happens every so often. I think it's a prisoner of the moment, an overreaction to try to convince people that they should go to college. No, I don't believe that. Kyrie Irving had a cup of coffee and a sweet roll at Duke.
He played eight games.
He was the first overall pick. So I don't believe in that. I think people should do what's best for them. If it's going to college, fine. If it's not going to college, and here's my other thing. And Chris, I've said this forever. Don't blame the kids if you're drafting people who aren't ready for the pros. Shame on the organizations. Shame on the ownership. Shame on the general managers. If a kid's not ready, Chris, don't draft him. That you want to get people to go to college and hone their skills? Start passing up on some of these guys, right? Who didn't go to college or who didn't play at the kind of level that you expect or come in prepared to make a difference in the NBA. If you start passing up those guys, which they won't do because they're so afraid that there's a diamond in the rough,
and they'll pass up on them. Guys they don't think are ready.
You know what I mean?
There's a lot of high school kids that don't get drafted. It's tough. I think that's easier said than done. I mean,
no, look, I'm just saying if you're telling me, he can't play.
Let's keep it real. The only high school player to come into the NBA ready was LeBron James. He's the only one that came in balling. Now, Kevin Garnett was okay. He averaged 10 points. Kobe averaged 7. I mean, they were okay, but LeBron's the only one ever to come in and really be a very good player right away, averaged 20. It's tough, though, because, look, I'll take a year of Kobe Bryant being not that good to get the end result. And that's where it is. Like, yeah, okay, he's not ready now, but if I see the potential, it's tough. Look, here was my thing with Doug. And I think Doug is right in that, yeah, if they had March Madness and if LaMelo and Weissman had played in the NBA or in the college, we would know more about them. And say if they dominated, then we would be more excited about it. I agree with him on that. But at the end of the day, the most important thing isn't having draft buzz. I've always said this, Rob. What's fair is that players, if they're good enough, they can come right out of high school, go to the pros. I think what's best for the game of basketball, as terms of quality of play and things like that, is that they spend a couple years in college. Now, I've always been a proponent they get paid, but I think they would come into the league much better if they were there for a couple years.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but the onus up on that is not on them. I hear what you're saying, right, from the league standpoint. But the league shouldn't be drafting people. That's why I don't – what are they called?
Well, if I can get the I'll take a year of you know what I'm saying. Like, I'll take a year of a dude being not that good if he's going to blossom into a superstar.
Yeah, but everybody doesn't blossom. You know that. I mean,
right.
And then the knock on it, Chris, was if you stayed 3 or 4 years in college, they say he's not that good. They wouldn't draft anybody who stayed 3 or 4 years in college.
Now. Yeah. Right. I mean, if you had a rule, like, I actually would like the rule if you either come right out or you stay 2 years. You know, Rob, when we were growing up with college basketball, you knew year to year who the guys were because they stayed a while.
We watched it, but every game wasn't on TV, Chris. It was totally different.
Saturdays were big.
Yes.
That's when the games were.
And you would look for a big – I can remember so many St. John's and Georgetown in the Big East, you know, from where I grew up.
Syracuse.
Right, and watching those games, I loved it. I knew all the players. I knew all the coaches. I knew everything.
Well, what it's going to boil down to, and I do think they're going to get rid of the, you know, that you have to go to college, but it's really going to be on the players, I think more so than even the league, because the players at one point when they ended the, you know, you could go from prep to pros, the league didn't, they wanted to get out of it too, but a lot of the players were like, we're veteran. Our 35, 36-year-old veterans who are better than these 18-year-olds are losing jobs to a kid that's not as good as them, but just because, you know, they got the potential. And so that's the players push back on it.
Yeah, but
I think now they're about to go the other way and let the kids come out.
That still was a mistake. You should never – I don't believe that players should stop players from – No matter it's
the, well, if you're better, if I'm better nah, than you, and you just on, getting the job because you got potential.
Yeah, but
I see where they were coming from.
I don't think you should ever stop. Just like I don't believe the NFL players should have stopped quarterbacks from getting paid or the first overall picks. They've put in that work and energy to get there, and you let the market.
Well, you mean getting paid? So you just think it should be get yep. whatever you
no
scale.
I'm just saying whoever's the better player or whoever has the better leverage, only from the standpoint, Chris, that those NFL players who voted for that, they didn't get the money at the back end. They still got released. They still got let go. They didn't benefit from them cutting the salaries of the top picks in the draft. That money didn't trickle down to them. So basically, they're the ones who limited those guys' earning potential, and they still were shown the door when they got old. So what did you get from that? Nothing.